Good morning, good people. I'm Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this morning, I'm joined by representatives from the Lowry Institute. We're going to be talking with Alexandria Harris, who's a leadership specialist, and also Nicholas Orosimena, who is a change agent and a student at Morehouse College. Ms. Harris, Nicholas, welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you all for coming to share information about what's going on with the Lowry Institute. One of the things that I know you all wanted to talk about are the students who are change agents and who are launching this voter registration drive. So, Nicholas, could you share with our listeners what is a change agent and why you all decided to concentrate on voter registration?
So the Lowry Institute has over 100 change agents across a number of colleges and universities in the Atlanta area. So the largest number of our students come from the AUC. So that would be Morehouse College, Spelman College, and Clark Atlanta University. And we serve in a variety of different sectors, one of those being civic engagement, where we are focused on voter registration, participation, and engagement. So yesterday, we had an event where we were registering people to vote. We were primarily trying to target freshmen because they are new to the AUC and most likely are not registered to vote, at least not registered to vote in Georgia, where we are trying to get more people registered to vote.
And why voter registration? Because there seems to be a lot of apathy, not just with young people, but with people in general who seem to think, you know, voting doesn't matter. So it's just not worth their effort to go.
So Dr. Joseph Lowry, who our organization is named after, actually has a very famous quote. He says that voting is not just a sacred right, but a moral obligation. And so, at least for me, knowing my history and knowing how many people have fought for my right to vote and how people use disenfranchisement as a method of controlling individuals and oppressing them, and I feel like it's so important. And for And every year for Dr. Lowry's birthday, one of his biggest wishes is that for young people to go out and vote and exercise their right to vote.
Nicholas, I think it is so important, and I'm always amazed, you know, even in this current situation that we're in with a president in office who got 4 million votes less than his opponent, that we still have to kind of encourage people to vote. So what do you say to young people beyond this being a moral obligation? What do you say? How do you engage as a change agent, you know, with these young freshman students who probably the last thing they're thinking about is voting?
I say that they honestly do not have the luxury to not think about these things, and they don't have the luxury to not think about whether or not they should be civically engaged, because every single day there are people in office who are making decisions that will affect us for the rest of our lives, especially in Georgia, if you're going to spend the next 4 years here, even if you don't stay here after, which we find most college students do. They should be very aware of who is in office, why they're in office, the agendas that they have, the policies that they're going to try to implement, because that can affect their money, their livelihood, everything.
Ms. Harris, that brings me to you, because Nicholas Orosimena is an outlier. You know, he knows that civic engagement is important. And I say that because when I talk to adults, yeah, a lot of times, you know, you get this, oh, I'm busy, you know, it doesn't matter. So as a leadership specialist, how do you all choose these young change agents, and how do you motivate them, you know, to be civically engaged, not just for themselves, but to actually go out and be a change agent?
Thank you so much for that question. So we really start with wanting them to understand that being a change agent at the root of it is about being a leader, and about being a leader who is not just concerned with themselves. You must be concerned with yourself because it impacts you, but it also impacts the other people around you, the communities that you love, the family that you care about. And so you begin to lead from that space. Voting is not the only way to be civically engaged, but it is absolutely one way. And so sometimes students are feeling like, well, this is the only way that I can get involved, and I don't see it working. And so we encourage them to say, well, go to your city council meetings as well, so that you know what kinds of policies are actually involved there. We want you to watch the town hall meetings where candidates are talking about their positions. We want you to read, you know, what's going on in the news so that you have a well-rounded perspective. And that's what it means to be a leader. So we're not just encouraging people to get out and mark a box and say, well, that's the end of your civic engagement. We're saying this is a part of your life. And as a leader, it's so important for you to be informed for yourself and the community around you. And that's why it's important to stay engaged in this way. And Nicholas is amazing. And so we're really fortunate to have so many amazing students with the Lowry Institute. We have students who come from across backgrounds. They're different level seniors all the way down to freshmen who participate and serve with us. And they're changing the way that they think about what volunteering is into how can I serve? And I'm serving for my values. I'm serving because I'm committed to justice. I'm serving because I'm committed to love. I'm serving because I'm committed to the civil rights and continuing on that legacy and at least trying to understand how they can continue that trajectory.
And so when students get involved with the Lowry Institute, is everyone a change agent? Does everyone accept this, you know, moniker and go out and do these things? Or do you have other ways that students get involved?
So we have a number of ways for students to get involved, but every student who participates and volunteers with us and serves with us are going to come in as change agents. So the minimum that they are agreeing to do is 4 hours of service per week, and they can choose their service area. So that can be in school if they're passionate about children and learning and education. That can also be with our food pantry, Mimi's Pantry, which is named after Evelyn Lowry, who was very, very instrumental and had such a tremendous impact on the civil rights movement, as well as her husband, as she worked alongside him. We also have other opportunities to work with civic engagement, as Nicholas mentioned. So that's voter registration and community engagement in that fashion. And then we also have what's called the Voice Team, and that is Voices of the Institute for Change and Empowerment, which I am the facilitator of that. But the students, they really tell me what to do around there. But it's an opportunity for them to do something like this and be on the podcast and share their writings, what is important to them. And I think that those opportunities for them to choose where they serve helps feed that passion and helps bring out that purpose to say, this is a part of the life that I want to live. Whether they move into this full time in their careers or whether it's something that as they go on in a different direction that they keep with them and they stay true to those values throughout their lives.
And Nicholas, back to you, because there are a number of organizations on the AU Center campus that you could get involved with. What was it about becoming a Lowry change agent that was attractive to you so that not only, you know, did you join, but you're out there, you're engaging with students, you know, you're doing, it seems to me you're probably doing more above and beyond that 4 hours of engagement. What was it about this organization that attracted you?
So the thing that I find that's different about the Lowry Institute is that I have a lot of flexibility and I have a lot of opportunities when I'm working with the Lowry Institute. So originally I was assigned to the Lowry Institute through the Bonner Office of Community Service, which is an office on Morehouse's campus that has a certain number of Bonner scholars who are Morehouse students. And the Lowry Institute was the site that I was assigned for my freshman year. And I went there and I was worried about not being able to fulfill the hour requirements that the Bonner Office had given me. However, through the various programs that the Lowry Institute has to offer, whether it be civic engagement, in-school service, the podcast, the blog, I found that I had no trouble at all reaching my hour requirements and actually going above and beyond those hour requirements. And even just today, I was one of the change agents that went with the Lowry Institute and represented the Lowry Institute at the YWCA's luncheon today, their conversation about women and race in personal and working relationships.
So this is also a learning opportunity for you as well. And do you see this as part of your future, as Ms. Harris just mentioned?
I definitely plan on being with the Lowry Institute for the remainder of my time at Morehouse College. And I do not know yet if I'm going to stay in Atlanta after graduation. If I do, then I would see no reason why I wouldn't still remain involved with the Lowry Institute and trying to further continue my contribution to service and social justice through them.
I love young people who talk like this. Mr. Nicholas, where are the rest of you?
We actually had to create a separate category for students who had served as change agents, but as Nicholas mentioned, wanted to give above and beyond. And so we have a new group of students called Scholar Activists who will serve over the course of a year, 200 to 280 hours of service that they will give back to the community in some capacity. And that is with the Lowry Institute internally working to help bring programming like the birthday, the upcoming birthday celebration, or if it is direct services in the community. And so we really value those students. We heard what they said. They said they wanted to have programming that really built up their leadership capacity. So we're offering leadership development. We're offering other types of support for them to get involved.
And so, Ms. Harris, you mentioned the birthday,
yes,
and it is Reverend Lowry's 98th birthday celebration.
Oh, it's so special.
Coming up on October 10th. How can our listeners get more information about that event so that they can participate?
I'm so excited that you asked. The birthday celebration is such a big deal. We only have this big party every 2 years. And so 98 is a big one. And we're so excited that Dr. Lowry is ready to put on his dancing shoes. And he's already talking about music and having a good time. And he wants to see everyone there. You can find out more information about his 98th birthday celebration, which is October 10th, at lowryinstitute.org. And you'll have the opportunity to purchase tickets for the event. And it's here in Atlanta at the Georgia Railroad Freight Depot. And there will be performances by Grammy-winning singer Regina Bell and some other special guests. But if you're not able to attend or you're not listening locally and you still want to support the amazing work that the Lowry Institute does to keep the legacy of Dr. Lowry in place, there's also a place on the website to click on and sign his birthday card virtually, and you can donate right there. And there's no donation that's too small.
Ms. Harris, Nicholas, I want to thank you both for coming and sharing this information. And that website, again, for more information and to participate in the birthday celebration is lowryinstitute.org.
Yes.
Thank you all so very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.